It's Big Ugly Tailgate, bringing the party to the radio with Casey Studdard, Johnny Rogers, and Ashley Camrath. Talking sports, food, music, and all things ATX on the horn.
You can run on for a long time. Run on for a long time. Run on for a long time.
Welcome back to Big Ugly Tailgate. Me and John. What?
I'm not on.
There you go.
Oh. I was like, what? We're not. What
do you mean? We're on. We're
Anyways,
live.
Hey, what's going on? Got a couple texts in here on the text line here from the break. A&M grad here, Jeff Banks, was our special teams coach during the Sumlin era. He's an A plus special teams coach, but he's not much of a recruiter.
He's got the gift of gab. He can talk.
Yeah. So that's
I think, you know, Texas is going to be okay in the recruiting process. We just need some guys in here that can develop talent. And I think Jeff Banks and his crew are going to do that.
Another texter said these coaches are coming from Alabama because they think Saban is a short-timer now.
I don't think that's true.
I think Saban got another 10.
Yeah. I mean, I think if there was any validity to that, if Saban was on his way out, I mean, Sarkisian's probably like, I ain't going nowhere. Yeah.
I'm going to stay here and take this job over. Exactly. This is already a well-oiled machine.
But he said, you don't say no to Texas.
Yeah. You're right.
And he's right.
Because you can well-oil this machine, too.
Yep.
What else we got here? Only know one Stoney. That was a guy I played football with, and that's Selvin Young. New assistants, you'll be lucky to make it to the regular Alamo. You got A&M finally wins a game, goes to a good game in the last 25 years, a big game in the last 25 years, and they're like, and he's like, bring back the hate, horns down. I can't stand you sons of bitches anyways either. So,
I want him to play that game, though.
Well, no, I would love to have the game back so we can just hand over ass whoopings again.
Mm-hmm.
We
noticed a lot of uptick in Aggie conversation on the text line after this year. We didn't get that last year.
Yeah. But who was TCU's quarterback when Baylor and TCU screwed each other?
Oh, that was
that Griffin?
No, that was for Baylor. I think when it was TCU, that may have been, I'm blanking on his name, but he was a wide receiver for us for a little bit.
Boykin.
Yeah, Trayvon Boykin.
Yeah, Boykin.
Who ended up not doing much, but he ended up making it on the Seahawks team. He was Russell Wilson's backup for a year or two.
Yeah.
But he was good. Stud. But yeah, we heard that the guy from A&M talking about Banks not being a great recruiter, and then all of a sudden we get five texts that are like, hey, Banks is an A-plus recruiter, solid special teams coach, blah, blah, blah. He is. He's going to be a great guy. He's a great addition to the staff. I don't think Texas has hired a defense coordinator yet. Is that correct?
No, they still haven't.
Okay.
Jamie Frazier texts in saying, Houston Texan, what a dumpster fire.
Jamie Frazier!
Yeah. Jamie, I need to know if you know one of my buddies, Travis Jinks, flew F-15 Special Forces. When you get in here, I need to know if you know this guy because he's a Colorado kid that we grew up with.
F-15s?
Yeah, he was... Dropping weight.
Top Gun?
Yeah, he was a Top Gun instructor.
No, really?
Yes, he was.
Miramar?
Yeah. Travis Jinks, yeah.
God, I can't wait for Top Gun 2 to come out.
I can't. So it's kind of like I love Braveheart.
It's going to be amazing.
I love Braveheart. I love Patriot. But ever since Mel Gibson, I can still watch Lethal Weapon.
Okay.
But ever since his like whole rant and everything, and then
this is Tom Cruise.
I know, but it's one of those things. And now Tom Cruise with all his Scientology and how weird his ass is.
I see
now,
where you're at.
Like I can't get past that. It was like this. It was like the movie It was a Liar with Jim Carrey.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like the stepdad tried to come in. He was like, "Oh, the claw!
It's the claw!
It's the claw!"
Yeah.
So when I saw the movie Saw. That's supposed to be scary. I couldn't even take it scary because every time I look at that guy's face, all I see is the claw.
Hey, Gipper.
It messes me up. I'm like, dude, are you... So
baseball stuff. Yeah, he was kind of a goober in that movie.
At Alabama, Banks was a great recruiter. Everyone's is saying. But yeah, I did hear that the he is a badass special teams coordinator.
Yeah,
and Texas definitely needs help on that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they got better since the Charlie Strong era. They got a little bit better, but I mean, it's just.
I mean Jay Boulware was brought in to shore up that special teams. You know, I don't think they necessarily. I think he did a fine job, but now you got somebody who's come in here with who's won national championships, is a great recruiter. Mm-hmm. It's the type of coach that Texas needs. Now, if he can't, it's none of it's going to matter though if they can't develop these players
at all,
because that was the issue with the past two coaching staffs with Charlie and with Herman. They did not develop the talent.
They can't. Yeah.
So that's what you need. You're going to have these guys. I mean, these are all really good football players. Coming to the University of Texas, but that's you can't do that.
Yeah, it's like, no, these kids, they're still kids. You got to get them better. Every day you got to get better and better and better and better. Like, that's it. That's the only way to do it. And when you walk out to practice, you sit there. I remember, every day, especially in the pros, you're like, man, it's just Groundhog Day, and you're worn out like 2 days. But it's like, all right, well, I'm out here. Might as well get better.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's just one of those things where, it's just a mental.
But, like, even back in VY's day and y'all's day, like, what really stands out to me about y'all's group was the off-season, the summer sessions, that it was like, I wasn't obviously there, yeah. But you hear about it and how Vince was like, if you're not there at 7-on-7, don't show up. Like, yeah. We got to put in the work right now. Yeah. And I hadn't seen any of that in a long time. The captain.
Oh, God.
The colonel.
You called him a captain?
Well,
captain, an ass.
Captain, colonel, whatever.
What an ass, dude. Called a colonel a captain.
Where's that on the rank?
Like slapping your mama. Golly, the redheaded stepchild over
here. Hey, I hadn't seen him in a minute.
Y'all are horn frogs together, and you called him a captain.
I hadn't seen him in...
What a D move, man. I
hadn't seen him in 3 months.
He earned his stripes, Johnny. He earned his stripes.
He's mad. Look at him. He's fuming over there.
Ass.
He's fuming.
He just called you a captain.
I heard that.
I was a misspoke. I apologize. The colonel.
Colonel came here with a freaking switchblade about to cut Johnny's ass.
What did you say, man?
I am excited about Josh Allen, though.
Bills quarterback?
Yeah, I like him. I like that Wyoming gunslinger.
Yeah, he's a stud.
I like him.
And they, brought on Stephon Diggs. That was a huge pickup for them.
The biggest pickup in the year for him.
Yeah, that was probably the best offseason move outside of Tom Brady, in my mind.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Next year, I'll be happy if we're in the hunt for the Big 12 champ. And teams like Cincinnati, Liberty, and Tulsa aren't ahead of us in the polls. Yeah, that's no BS.
If Liberty's ahead of you in the final poll, something's not right.
That's not good. I mean, this year was so messed up. So next year, hopefully we get a full – I don't know. Are we going to be out of this protocol stuff, with everyone taking vaccines? So are we going to get a full season next year? We don't know. Are we going to be able to go through spring practice this year? Last year it all got canceled.
Correct.
Are they going to, So it's,
well, at
it's,
least this year we at least have a little bit of precedent moving forward on what they should and shouldn't be doing.
So when these kids are back in school and there's no football, are they still in lockdown? Because they're coming together as a team, right? They're coming together as a team to work out and do all that off-season stuff. So they're going to be in lockdown a whole another half a year?
Yeah. Unless we start seeing some uptick in the vaccines.
I mean, at least the team's going to be close for sure. You probably hate each other by now and need to get the hell out of, go see a different change of scenery.
No doubt.
So it was a good little break right now. Now you get to come in there with a fresh coaching staff. I think that's actually probably going to be a positive because the kids are going to be excited to try to get back to work.
Get back to work.
But you sit there and it's like now you go to class, you work out, and you go back to class. Oh, that would suck. You're not even preparing for a game. At least you got a game to think about the rest of the weekend. But, dang, I got 8 months till a game. I can't even go out and have a cold cerveza because then I'll jeopardize the whole team. Now we're back 2 weeks again.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's I don't know.
But you got to think that these players with a new coaching staff coming in are going to be fighting to prove themselves, right? So, you know, I think if anything, this is a great thing for the University of Texas. Get the players energized. Get the fan base energized. So,
Jeff Banks' wife is a stripper, hey. And some dude's not. He wasn't a good recruiter. That's funny. That's awesome. That's funny. Oh, man. All these, you know. Oh, man. We're getting a lot of Aggies texting in, just mad at,
they just
mad
hating.
At us today.
They're just hating.
But it's all right. Yeah, if you're on the app, yeah, you definitely get me uncut and not dropped every 5 minutes. But overall, before
Casey After Dark, is that what it is?
You're right. What I want to do is do like a live video and watch games with. I know people do that already, but if I was drinking beer and whiskey with Lyle and we were just had like a couple cameras on us while we're watching football, it'd probably be gold.
Probably
people would probably hate us, but
you should have an OnlyFans account, Casey.
Is that what that is?
Yeah.
Do I have to show nipples on that?
You should do whatever you want on there. But if people want to pay you to sit there and you talk about college football, great. I'm sure there's somebody out there that would.
Made $6 a day, folks. Made $6.
Probably have to sit there with your shirt off for a little bit.
Yeah.
I don't think I'm tuning in for that one.
Yeah. I got all male listeners. What is going on here? No. But I think that would be pretty cool. No, I'm excited today. Playoff football, NFL. The one thing though, it's not Drew Brees. It's, you know, I'm looking at the Packers, Rams. Rams without that defense, you know, I don't see them having a chance against Aaron Rodgers right now.
No.
But Aaron Rodgers with a week off, there's always that. Yeah, it's a great bye week. You know what I mean? But
get healthy.
But there's still that rust.
True.
And some people lose their momentum. There's some teams that start where I see, exactly. You know, they lose like week 13, something like around week 13, and then they go on a run, right? And they win four straight or whatever, and then they get that bye week.
Yep.
And they come back, lose first round or
sure.
Second round.
Yeah, but I think.
But it's almost if they had a wild card.
But
you see those teams
let me ask you this.
That have to play the wild card games.
Yeah.
And they come in and they're on
They get on a roll.
And they get on a roll and they win the Super Bowl.
I don't see that being the Rams.
No. I don't see that being the Rams, but I mean, Packers being a little rusty, it could be a tight game.
Indeed.
If
what do you think is going to happen between Kansas City and Cleveland? I mean, Cleveland. You want to talk about a team that's on a roll? They came out and just curb stomped the Steelers.
Oh yeah.
And
me
there
personally?
was all the memes of Juju afterwards, just crying.
Yeah, Juju's such a, like, that's what I can't stand about today. You're worried about all this social.
The TikToks, all that crap, yeah.
Let's
go win a football game.
Yeah, and you've sucked ever since Antonio Brown left anyways.
Yeah, I think
you don't have
Steelers are going to get blown up here. I think Big Ben's probably done.
I think at the beginning of this year, if I was Big Ben, I would have said, this is probably going to be my last year or next year.
I mean, he's... He's a big dude, not nearly as mobile as he used to be. It's going to be tough. Jamie Frazier.
Jamie Frazier in the house.
What's your Houston voice?
Houston?
The dumpster fire is the Texans?
It's bad in Houston. It's bad. I mean, you got the whole Deshaun Watson and, you know, back and forth thing with the ownership. But it's just, it doesn't add up to me, like everything that's going on. It's like Bill O'Brien basically depleted the whole team, screwed them for 2 years. Now you're trying to rebuild with Deshaun Watson, and you leave it, you know, first when me and Johnny talked about it earlier, where as an owner, you don't say that to a player. You say, hey, you bring him in when it's happening. Hey, I think we're going to hire this guy.
Just appease him. Like if you know you're going to hire him, bring him in and say, hey, what do you think about this guy? Like he's done a really good job in New England and it's great. I just kind of want your blessing on this.
Yeah, I would love Eric Enemy to show up there.
Yeah.
He ain't going to go there. Eric Bieniemy is too much of a rebuilding. He doesn't have a quarterback. I mean, I'm sorry. He has a quarterback. He doesn't have
disgruntled,
an offensive line.
He's got a disgruntled quarterback.
He's got a disgruntled quarterback. But Bieniemy can hush that down because Bieniemy is good with players. He's a player's coach.
And you guys got no drafts. You got I think you guys traded away.
We don't have a first-round pick for 2 years.
Yeah.
Or a second-round pick. Like Miami this year has like four picks in the first two rounds.
Jaguars, oh my gosh. They got like two picks first round, two picks second round, yeah. One pick third round. And they got the number one pick.
They are set up for success.
That's why Urban's like, okay, I can really build a team here. That's why he's going to go there.
Yeah, if Trevor Lawrence isn't there, I mean,
yeah, that's right.
Not David Ash. Is that his name? Something Ash?
Didn't Charlie Strong just get hired too?
Yeah.
Chris Ash.
Man. Yeah, it's. I just look at Houston as a dumpster fire. Hopkins, that whole move was just insane. No,
it was a great move.
Did you really?
Well, yeah, for the Cardinals.
Yeah.
It's fantastic for the Arizona Cardinals.
Yeah,
we're in Texas. I don't know if you know
I heard about that.
Yeah,
we gave away two picks. I mean, that was the dumbest move ever by Bill O'Brien. Now Bill O'Brien's down there in Alabama, and you're sitting there, and you're like, you just destroyed a whole franchise. Like, how do you have a job? Like,
well, and you saw Andre Johnson came out and was basically saying, yeah, Deshaun, get out of there. They have a history in Houston of ruining people's careers.
Look at the whole Houston Metroplex with the trash can incident, and then the basketball team it's a dumpster fire, and then the Texans. Man.
Come on, Houston, what's up?
Man.
Houston sports were on top for a little bit, and now they're back down at the bottom.
It's the world,
back
baby.
Down at the bottom.
Did you watch that high school football game last night?
Alito?
Denton Ryan.
And Cedar Park.
Man, those kids look like they're 25 years old, yeah. The Denton boys.
Ryan's way bigger than – they're huge.
Oh, number one, I don't know what his name was, but he's just – he's huge.
I was like, I liked Vandergriff's quarterback, though.
Yeah?
But
Cedar Parks.
Cedar Park. Keep saying Vandergriff.
Where did Brown go? He went to the basketball player.
He went to Vandergriff.
Vandergriff, okay.
Yeah. Greg Brown.
Yeah, did you guys watch that game?
He is incredible.
Yeah, I mean, they lost and lost.
But see, this is what I want. I want to get this off my chest this week.
Let's go.
So his dad played at Texas, correct?
Yeah, indeed.
Yes.
From
Texas was dumpster juice, right? On basketball.
Correct.
He's a freshman this year, correct?
Yes.
Yeah.
He came here because of pride. He loved his dad. His dad played here, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
You know, I want to just hush this whole thing up. Everyone's like, well, you know, we got Flood coming in now, so what about getting, you know, the Brockemeyer boys back? I'm like, no.
Uh-uh.
No. They're like, screw them.
Next.
They're out of here.
No,
they're gone.
Yeah, next.
Like, sorry, you guys aren't going to come here now and be like, oh, yeah, we're going to be Longhorns. No, you ain't got no pride. Like, you know, like, you guys go do your Alabama thing. Like, we don't want you. You already left. Clearly, it's, you know what I'm saying?
I just hope.
So screw y'all.
I just want to get that out there, everybody. Ex-football player relationship did Herman have with y'all, with you guys?
What'd you say?
What kind of relationship
What was the relationship between Tom and the former players?
Former players.
Were you guys included?
Yeah. We were all.
You guys were? Okay.
Yeah.
I just think, I mean... Sark, I think he did it right. I mean, so far, but I mean,
he said the right things, but we just got to see what he does.
Yeah,
you know,
develop talent. That's all you got to do.
Develop talent. Sounds so easy, doesn't it?
Sounds so
it's
easy.
Like, yeah, okay, let's do it.
But you're gonna get it. You're gonna get the talent here. I promise you that.
You'll develop talent, and you got to put guys in the league. Put guys in the league. People are gonna come here.
Know the stuff. I can't believe. I mean, if you look at college, the pay for the college head football coaches. It's just gone up drastically. I mean, you go look back at like the Mack Brown era, and he didn't have a back end buyout. Now that even the assistant coaches, I mean, all the way down to I think the strength coaches, they have buyouts.
Sure.
So hey, if it's a failed success and we're out.
Well, that's what makes guys move a little bit because they're like, okay, well, I got another year of pay,
right?
And now he gets another job. But see, the one thing is the difference between them and the pros, they can't double dip. A lot of times they don't double dip because another team will buy that contract.
They'll buy the contract.
They'll buy the contract. So, they, you know, But if they don't, then yeah, donors pay for it.
Man.
But the NFL is like, if you're a vested player, you've played 3 years plus four games, if you're on the roster that Thursday of the start of the season,
right,
and you're on the roster Thursday, and they cut you after that, you get your whole salary.
Whole salary.
So like, if they cut me, I'm getting my whole salary for that year for the Texans, and say a week later the 49ers pick me up.
Right.
Now I'm getting paid
two
contracts.
Man.
I was so hoping that that 1 year would happen for me.
When are you fully vested for their retirement in the NFL?
Three years and four games.
3 years, four games, fully vested. How about what do they do for insurance for you guys?
Nothing. You know what's met? This is why I hate Goodell's little punk ass. So they take off our insurance after 5 years. So we have no more insurance after 5 years. NFL guys, really? Baseball, all these guys, they got insurance for life, and I'm like, they don't even have half the body, you know. But no insurance wants to.
Also got guaranteed contracts.
Yes, absolutely. But the insurance don't want to insure us football players.
And you're not really going to see the.
So they're paying this high premium for us because of, you know, just our injuries. So they pay for our insurance and our families for 5 years afterwards, and then you're on your own.
But
you know why I hate Roger Goodell?
Please.
In his contract, when he's forever. No, listen to this bull. In his contract, when he retires, he gets free insurance for life for his family.
Saw that.
You kiss my
man.
Ass, piece of crap.
Well, that's the funny part, too, because most
of he ain't out there getting hurt.
No,
he ain't
kiss
doing
my,
anything.
And he's getting paid $40 million a year.
Aren't going to show up for another, you know, into your, you know, 10 yeah. years, 12 years, yeah. 20 years afterwards.
Yeah.
Man, I don't know. Why is player union so weak?
Give you like 100. I got like 100,000 in my, I can pull for medical. Whenever.
That's surgery?
I'm like, yeah, okay, great.
That's like surgery.
I'm just saving in case something crazy happens, emergency.
Wow. What, I mean, gosh, that's just wrong.
Oh, yeah, that's bad. Like my dad couldn't walk about a year ago.
Ugh.
My dad couldn't feel any, he had numbness in his feet and everything, and got his back cleaned up. They called John Elway. And that way, got the NFL paid for it.
Wow!
Like, dude, this guy can't even get out of his house. He can't even walk himself to take a piss.
Is your player union just really weak because you guys have such a high turnover all the time?
Yeah, and a lot of times is when we're doing deals,
like the collective bargaining stuff.
Right. So, like, baseball's guaranteed money, right? So these guys are getting their contract regardless. Football, you're not guaranteed. So when it comes to the whole, like, bargaining stuff, and we're sitting there in court trying to make this thing happen before we sign it, you know, leading up to that, the NFLPA tells you, hey, you guys got to put this $20,000 away a year just in case we go on strike this whole year. You know what I mean? So you have at least, you know, 80 to 100 grand, you know, to kind of float you.
Right.
And a lot of guys, some guys did do it, some guys didn't. I did.
Yeah.
You get all the money back regardless.
Right.
And so when it comes down to when you're signing those deals, you got your player reps that are up there dealing with the frickin' owners that are crooks in anyways. Like, just, I mean, they're making billions and they won't guarantee contracts. You know what I mean? And it's like, we're so quick and we get hurt so easily. So they don't, you know what I mean? That's why they don't want to do it. But the NFL, when it comes, what were we talking about? Sorry, I just went blank.
No, why is it so weak, the player?
Oh, no, okay, so when it goes, so we got our player reps up there battling, and then it goes into strike, you have all these players that didn't save any of their money.
And
so they're like, yo, we got to get back in. I got to pay bills. We got to get back. You got to get this bill signed, and they're calling the reps every day.
All they get is
50. And so that's what happened. That's what happened in 09. That's what happened, or not 09, or 10 or 11 or whatever, when the last one was. That's what happened then, and that's why we got such a crap-ass deals, because they had to sign it to please players. We could just gone on strike and not let these owners make all this damn money, and they lose out on so much, then maybe we'll get a good deal, but it's not going to happen because players...
You're not going to outlast billionaires.
You're not going to outlast
billionaires. What's the locker room after you sign a contract? Are you guys at each other? You want to go for more money and all this stuff, but it gets passed out, and you know some of the second and third tier guys, they're the guys pushing the contract because they know we got a very short career, and I just want to make my money right now, and I don't have any money saved up.
Yeah,
yeah. Was there any hostility inside the locker room? Nobody just
no, because camp started a week late or something like that. And it was right into football, right into camp. You can't really bitch. You're trying to make a team. You got to go back to work and make a team. You know what I mean? So it's like, you got to go. You know, you can't do nothing to do about that.
People always forget the NFL is a business. They do. They get used to watching college football, and they're like, okay, it's a team, right?
The spirit.
Yeah, it's a team. Here we go.
It's a game.
Yeah, it's a game. No, it's not. It's a business.
Correct.
I mean, man.
Well, and it's going to take the – it's going to take a couple of high-profile players that are going to have to come along and say, I'm only signing a guaranteed contract.
Well, I can't believe all these players that are having the brain injuries and later in life. I mean, you look at all these guys that can't even talk now.
Right.
Why is that not their poster child? And like, look it. I played football. And look at where I'm at now. Yeah. I don't know.
It's a big trade-off.
Absolutely. Hey, we got to take a quick commercial break and be right back with more Big Ugly Tailgate after this. What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to the Big Ugly Tailgate. It's just me. Johnny had to roll out and, I don't know, go do some real estate, go sell some houses to somebody. I'm sitting here watching. They're talking about Deshaun Watson on ESPN about how bad that was, and we just got done kind of talking with it. With him, if he wants out, the Texans will get a lot for him, and that's their rebuilding year, so I can see the Texans doing that. But I think with them firing the whoever that one guy is, not the new GM, but the other guy that's already there or whatever, they need to fire him so he's not doing anything anymore. I can't remember his name, but I mean, it wouldn't be a bad move if they went that route, you know what I mean? And just took him off, and then, I mean, Deshaun Watson's a hell of a player, but the only way you're going to rebuild that team, because you need two offensive linemen, you need defensive linemen, because J.J. Watt's out. I mean, he's done. You know, I mean, he ain't the player he was 4 years ago. So it might be just a straight up overhaul with whoever their new head, with their new head coach and everything with the Texans. But they still haven't decided who their new head coach is going to be yet, right? Correct? So, and, we're talking about Bieniemy maybe going there. I don't see Bieniemy going to the Texans just on the reason because it's one of those things where it's such a dumpster juice, and you see how the owners are, all that stuff that's going on in the higher-ups. It's like there's no point in even messing with that. If I was him, I'm going down to San Diego. But a lot of these places, they're already hiring people. Like the Falcons already hired somebody. I don't even know him, the guy from the Patriots and all that kind of stuff. So it's just
that's Jeff Ballard.
Yeah,
I think that
everybody Colonel Flowers on the building.
Ballard is one of the most competent, and he's gonna. I really believe Ballard's one of the best GMs in the NFL right now. It's just a matter of time before he gets that thing aligned.
Yeah,
they need a quarterback. They need another quarterback in there and a couple pieces, but Ballard's a stud.
Yeah, they just got to build. They got to build that thing up again. They probably have to get a couple free agents or some big guys to solidify the line. I mean, they're at the draft well, but they don't have any draft picks. I mean, they're screwed. You know, only way they're going to get draft picks the next 2 years is to get rid of Deshaun Watson. But then now you're losing your franchise quarterback that. He was the only good thing that was on that damn team last year. So.
The whole thing's funky down there in Houston right now.
Yeah, it's a little weird. A lot of people have asked if I was on the Zoom call with Coach Sark, and I was not. not even know about it till the next day. Like, I'm not good on looking at. I get so many damn University of Texas emails about just random stuff that I really don't pay attention to. So that one came in and out. But no, I didn't. I did not participate in the Zoom call or heard really what they even talked about. I haven't really talked to anybody. I've been slinging barbecue for all you folks out there that need to come get some good barbecue today. Come on down. And I did. We did a run of pastrami yesterday. And
what does that mean? Run of pastrami.
Like we brined some. So
oh, you brined. Brining is an interesting deal.
Oh yeah. So like 2 weeks ago, I took two briskets and sunk them in a brine and put them in the fridge. And yesterday we smoked one to make pastrami. So it's like basically you take a whole brisket, you corn it to make corned beef. And if you were to put it in the oven and steam it.
Corn.
All right, so corned beef is like corned beef and hash.
Right.
You know,
I
like
love that.
The Irish dish.
Oh, yeah.
So corned beef is just brisket that's brined, then like steamed, right? And then put into.
Why do they call it corn?
Because that's the brining period. That's the corn part of it.
Okay.
You got peppercorns in it
and
the stuff that are in the brine.
Right.
So you go from brisket to corned beef, but to go to pastrami, you brine it, then you smoke it instead of steam it.
Really?
And you smoke it, and that's where you get your pastrami. So
all
yesterday,
I know is I love a badass Reuben.
Oh yeah.
I put a little jalapeno on my Reuben.
Oh yeah.
And I don't know how it gets there. I don't. I just know it's in my Reuben. Get in my belly.
Is Reuben pastrami or is Reuben? No, Reuben's. Reuben's just the corned beef, right? Or
I think it's
pastrami.
I think it's pastrami. Maybe you can have a Reuben.
Is Reuben
you
pastrami?
Can have either way, I think.
Reuben's pastrami. Yeah, Reuben's pastrami.
Some deep stuff.
No, but no. So that's. So we did a run of pastrami yesterday, and it's so good. It's so good.
Really?
I think we sold like 25, 30 sandwiches of it yesterday.
No kidding.
On some like homemade rye bread with some onions and homemade mustard.
You got a clever name for it or you just?
Not yet. You know, we got our wet ass pork. We got our wop for our pulled pork. We got brisket. Blackberry cobbler. You know, BBC, you know, that's blackberry cobbler. blueberry, you know.
Case.
You know, so it's just, I mean, those are only our clever names, really.
They're clever, all right.
We're a little different around here. We're a little bit on the edge.
It's a big dish.
It is a big dish. But, no, so we ran pastrami, and I think it's going to be a regular thing that we get now. Yeah, a lot of people are asking, like, well, why don't you, like, post this stuff? I'm so bad at social media that, and I'm just, I mean, I don't know. I know people are going to show up, and I'll give them a taste of something. They'll be like, yeah, let me get a pound of that. I mean, we sold two briskets yesterday, or, you know, we did 20-something sandwiches and a couple pounds off of these two briskets. But, no, it was, that pastrami was awesome, absolutely. And I cooked it just like a brisket, and it came out tender. Juicy. Oh, so good. I ate the hell out of it. It's so good. Because my pastry chef, Kyle, he does all the homemade breads.
You're eating the margins over there.
Yeah. Well, no, I just told him. I texted him actually Thursday night. I said, yo, I'm putting these pastrami's on tonight. He goes, all right, well, let me head to the store. I'm going to go make. And so he made, you know, two loaves of this three loaves of this homemade rye bread. It was so good.
Listen, I think I don't understand this because the word brine. It's a mystery to me.
Yeah.
And people make their own brine. You can buy your own brine at Cavender's and Cabela's. I mean, I really don't even know what the purpose of a brine is, but I know that if I'm going to.
It's like, you know, like with chicken. Say you take a couple whole chickens and it's just like pre-marinate. It's really all it is.
It's a pre-marinate. Brine, but you got to rinse it off too.
Yeah. Like but brining is like basically if you brine something, you don't have to salt it afterwards.
All right. That's so like, important I
don't
to know.
Put, yeah, so like if you get something that's brine, don't put salt on it.
And Miss Beth's man, she loves
because
her salt.
That's in the brine. The salt's in the brine. It's in the with the vinegar and everything else. It kind of breaks down the meat a little bit with your seasonings.
It's a pre-marinade. And I like that.
It's basically, I mean, you know what I mean? But a brine, like you sink it. You know what I mean? Like when you have to brine.
Soak it in a tub. In a,
yeah. Or like when you brine pork belly with salt, you know, for a couple of days and you got to rinse all that salt off and then throw it on there and you get your bacon, you know. So that's the brining process right there. I like pickling. I like brining.
Yeah, you can pickle a leather belt. I've seen you do it.
Yeah, I like that good
pickles. My brother, he's going to be in studio with us on the high ground. He's been deployed for 18 months, just got back 5 days ago.
Yeah, I met him.
Yeah,
that's awesome. And he's, is he your younger brother?
Yeah, I'm the oldest.
You're the oldest.
But he looks like a fit Roger Clemens in his prime. I mean, he's six, whatever he is.
Did he just retire?
And, yeah, he just retired. This is his last time. He's had several deployments.
Yeah.
And, I'm so glad. The first time I saw him was just 10 minutes ago when he walked in the door. It's the first time I've seen him in 18 months. He's going to be sitting in here with
18 months.
Yeah.
Did you hug him?
Heck yeah. I hugged him. Welcomed him home. your slappy
brother.
Ass was like, hey, Chris, nice to meet you.
No
idea.
No.
You didn't know.
I didn't know that he was gone for 18 months.
He was a gone Johnny. I mean, he was.
And then it clicked into me when we started talking military. Like, oh, you're in Kuwait.
Yeah.
I was like, well, I'm an idiot. Yeah. No, but he.
He's a stud. He got all the looks, the height. Pitched for Lamar University.
Yeah, he definitely got all that. Like you got screwed on that family tree.
Okay.
I mean, I don't know if like, I don't know about the looks. I think y'all are pretty even on the looks. But
he got the hair
body,
too.
He got hair
he
and
got the body.
He got the body.
I'm gonna
he
get
got the height. He got muscles.
I got the cobbler.
But I got the cobbler too. We had to work for ours. That's gotta be a weird thing though. You know, because I'm not in the military, you know, so it's my wife just texts in. She goes, "You're an a-hole for not telling your wife about the pastrami. I have extra for you. You're gonna get some tomorrow." So
that's what I do, Casey. I elicit information. You
yes,
know,
I
out
appreciate
of, that's
that.
What I do. It's
I
elicitation of trying to inform the listeners.
Yeah, my wife's all mad.
Well, I'm gonna bring him by. I'm gonna take him over to Chiso's Boots after this, but then I'd love to bring him by Whitfield's.
Bring him by.
And
have a cold beer.
Yeah.
But no, so CB. I mean, but that I've never been in the military. So for me, that the homecoming, then being away from a loved one for that long, I mean, that's probably, I know when you're over there, you got to like kind of turn it off. You know what I mean? Because I've read a lot of books with, you know, people that are deployed. Like you got to make sure everything's tightened up here at home. So when you're over there, you don't have to worry about anything at home. So that doesn't distract you from doing your job. You know, overseas.
Well, Chris, my brother's name's Chris. He, I asked him, his, you know, they keep him at Fort Hood for about a week, kind of to transition back, you know, going from black and white TV to color TV suddenly. And, and then last night I was like, so dude, you know, where were you last night? He goes, oh, I was over at, stayed over at a buddy's, his son's house. He goes, but my son, he had to leave, go to Beaumont. So I'm in a house with no Wi-Fi, no TV, just had a bed. And I'm like, oh my God, had I known Jamie and I are over there, you know, messing with brine and all the, I could have had him over yesterday, but we're going to fill his tank today. He's coming over, we're going to watch football and
that's
go by
Whitfield's,
Chiso's, load
and
him
how
up.
You said he was gone how long?
18 months, but that's not his first deployment.
I know.
That dude's, he's done more
but
than
what,
I have.
What's the homecoming, like, what's that feel?
I'll have to ask him about that. The homecoming at Hood, I don't know what it was like.
Not the homecoming at Hood. I'm just saying as a family member, like, I never had a family member gone for so long. Is it always on your mind when, like,
it's always in the back of your mind.
The back of your mind.
Yeah, you're like, you know that he's there, but you don't want to worry about it because they got stuff to do. I mean, they got full plate every day. You know, you're just like, dude, just thinking about you. You know, that type of stuff. So it's not like we talked every day.
No, yeah. But no, that's what I was wondering.
Appreciate those texts I'm seeing right here, right now too.
Yeah.
So.
No, but I mean, thank you for your service, absolutely, everybody.
CB.
No, I just that for me that would be that's the mental aspect of it.
And my brother's single too. He's got all those looks.
Single?
Yeah.
Him and Jamie need to go hang out.
He's a He's jacked. He's 6 foot, square jawed, broad shouldered freedom fighter with a full head of hair. And, you know, here I'm over here.
You're mad about that hair, aren't you?
Well, you know, if you want to waste good hormones growing hair, that's your business.
Yeah, I don't have any hair either.
You know, so I wonder what the percentage is of people that lose their lid. I mean, Sammy's not any kind of danger, but there comes a point where you live in that gray twilight that knows not victory nor defeat, where you got to decide whether you're going to swoop, flop, or you're going to shave it.
See, but Sammy has that peak going back. Like, pull your hair back. See, look. Oh, no. He has good hair.
I think he's going to be okay.
Yeah, he's going to be okay.
A strong lid.
Yeah,
you got to have someone in your life, though, to tell you, hey, shave that thing because that part's starting to get a little sideways on you. There's a point where you got to shave it. Otherwise, you become
a foldover.
I never wanted to do that.
Hey, anyways, yeah, same here. That's why I was like, it's all coming off. I got thin. I was like, at least I don't have a bad shaped head. That's the only good thing about it. Hey, we got to take a quick commercial break and we'll be right back. Welcome back to Big Ugly Tailgate. We got a bunch of texters in saying thank you for your service. We'll make sure we pass that along to Colonel's brother and Colonel, but Colonel is reading them now. 30 years ago today, Operation Desert Storm began. That's wild right there.
Yep.
No, it's our last little segment. You know, my final thoughts of the week, you know, looking back at Texas on all their hires, and I know they don't have a full staff yet. I don't know who they've kept. I know they got Blake Gideon coming back. Blake Gideon is a good dude.
He's a great dude. He's the topic of this morning's Chiso's Boots morning story on the high ground, by the way.
All right, well, I won't get too much into him then. But no, Blake Gideon's a smart guy. Like, he almost went to the military, but because of his shoulders and everything were so bad, he failed out. I remember calling him or talking to him after. He's like, no, I failed out, and that's when he got into coaching.
What year was that? Think about it. Y'all are
nine or ten. What, 2010?
It was right. That's about right. But you know, he signed with the Broncos practice squad. How many guys on the practice squad? 8 or 10?
I think they have more now, but yeah, I think about 8.
I thought it was 8 as well. Yeah. But he signed with the Broncos on the practice squad in 2012, October 9th, as a matter of fact. It was on that practice squad.
Yeah. Yep, that's no.
He is a great guy.
No, he is a great guy.
You talk about a guy that can do it all.
Yeah, no, I'm happy for him to come back down to Austin. You know, you talk about Coach Stark hiring. I think it's a good thing for Texas. I think it's a new breath of fresh air. I guess I would call it. Things I'd like to see is just development of players. I'd like to see us get back to that winning mentality, or back to a standard. Like, this is a standard you have to live up to. You know what I mean? I think holding people accountable for, I think that's a big thing that I want, is
accountability
where not only the coaches have to have, you know, but the players got to be able to enforce that with their other players. So, well, guys that aren't stepping up to the thing, it's either get on or get gone. You know what I mean? Like, get good or get gone.
And that takes some time. Doesn't necessarily have to take a lot of time.
Yeah.
But we can't come out of the gate challenging folks. I mean, you've got to know one another first, then care, then challenge. That's just the steps that it takes to be elite. And there's going to be a little shock value, a guy going from high school to college. Of course,
but knowing somebody, is that considered?
Not coddling.
Not okay. But you're still going through all your stuff, putting all your stuff in, but it's more teaching during the knowing?
Well, you want to know, how did you best learn, Casey?
Visually.
So there are three arenas where you were given instructions and information. On the field, through practice, walkthroughs. In the classroom, film study, whiteboard, and then individual study. Here's your playbook.
Yeah.
So in those three arenas, each player learns differently. Ricky learned differently than the Big O, for example. You learned differently than Gary Zimmerman. Maybe you learned the same way. I don't know. But what I know about Terry Joseph, Jeff Banks, Blake Gideon, is they will know how to best deliver instructions and information to each of the players so that they can do the development word, which is what everyone has said now for the past, you know,
week. So when what do you do as a coach when you're teaching somebody and then it just doesn't click? They just go further and you just gotta.
Well, not okay. So well, let's
change your way.
Guys.
Change your way of coaching them. Say you've tried all the ways and the kid just not willing.
Well, and that's what we call a poor fit.
Okay,
you've got those three arenas.
I got you. No, I get that though, because you gotta know somebody to see where they're coming from. You got to get to know that. You got to build that trust so that you got to build the trust for them to run through a wall and listen to what the hell you're doing, and it comes with the three things. I hear what you're saying.
Yeah, you got to do a little of all, but you're wasting Ricky Williams' time in a classroom.
Absolutely, you're wasting my time having me look through a playbook at plays.
There you go.
For me, let's get on
It comes with self-awareness too.
Like plays, I'm fine. But when it comes to blitzes and new stuff, get me through walkthroughs. On walkthroughs. Let me go beginning of that and at the end, and we're rocking and rolling.
But like a guy like Ty Detmer, he had to see it written down before he could go execute it. Walkthroughs confuse. Isn't that interesting?
It's wild.
It's just different.
Yep.
And the good coaches adapt to that.
Yeah. And you got to be able to teach your guys and you got to be able to, as a player, to say, Coach, hey, can we do some more walkthroughs? Because I need this. This is what's helped me.
And that's
you got to be able to say that. And I did that in the pros. We weren't doing walkthroughs with the Texans. And I was like, Coach, I need walkthroughs for these blitzes. I got to see it before we get into it. So we started doing it before, and I do a lot more of it. And my coach was like, all right. And we started. And that was Alex Gibbs.
That's
and we started
trust.
Getting it down.
That's trust. And you had a courageous. You had the heart. You had the trust that you could go to the coach and say, "I need more walkthroughs on this."
Yeah,
and he wasn't going to say, "Hey, you suck."
Yeah, absolutely. Well, hey guys, we got to get going. Come on down to Whitfield's today. We got plenty of food for you, and y'all have a good rest of your weekend. And hook 'em.